The Global Climate Change Community decided to invite key speakers so that we can learn about climate change instead of saying what we do. You know, that way we can react to this global problem better. So in order to understand the implications of and to find viable solutions to climate change, we need to have a global perspective. And one way to introduce the concept of a global perspective is this picture here called Earth Rising. It's taken from during Apollo mission, you know, and you can see the Earth in the background. And so we must recognize that we inhabit the planet Earth, and that, you know, when we look at it this way, it's a closed system, or, you know, closed. There's some gases escaping into space. But and so when we come to that understanding, then, you know, we have to realize that our very thin atmosphere can be impacted by our actions on the planet. So, you know, and then if we would have had that global perspective way back in the 1800s and the 1900s even, you know, then all this pollution that ends up in our atmosphere maybe would have been stopped, and we may have not done as much damage to our planet, you know. So if, let's say, Spaceship Enterprise was, you know, came and started orbiting our planet, you know, and started monitoring our communications, you know, they might learn that, you know, our atmospheric CO2 concentration, you know, the average of the whole planet has been rising roughly around 2 ppm per year. And it finally reached 400 ppm. You can't see this, but it was in May this year, you know. And also, you know, they would also learn that our hurricanes, you know, like, are becoming stronger and stronger because of the warming of the planet. And so, and then if they're looking at our communications, then they would also realize that we're struggling with taking immediate actions, you know, to correct our activities to bring back our planet to cooler temperatures. Oh, okay, thank you. All right. So, in fact, our scientists have found that our planet has indeed warmed already by about a degree, and the impacts of climate change are observed throughout the whole planet. You know, this comes from the Intergovernmental Panel of Climate Change WG2 group, and they've identified here in blue, in green, and red, physical, biological, and human impacts on human systems. You know, the impacts on the physical systems are glaciers, the rivers, and droughts, and as you can see, they're spread all over the place. And then the biological systems that are being affected are ecosystems, the presence of wildfires and forests, and as well as marine ecosystems. So, and when it comes to humans here in red, they're food production, you know, livelihood, economic impacts. So some examples of these impacts are, for example, droughts in California, maybe some of the loss of glaciers in South America, coastal erosion in the Arctic. So this is already happening. It's not like it might happen. It's here and now. I'm usually used to all these graphs and technical things, and I never really talked this much. I had to have notes. Thank you for your patience. So the IPCC has prescribed an approach to adaptation to extreme weather events. And they state that dealing with climate change is a problem in managing risks. And they've come up with this scheme here. You know, so we must understand that risks, you know, for a disaster to happen, three things have to come into place. First of all is the hazard, which could be, you know, your extreme weather event, as well as the the exposure and vulnerability, you know, by exposure it means somebody, a person, an ecosystem, some asset, a building that could be adversely affected. Its vulnerability would be a susceptibility to harm or lack of capacity to cope with, let's say, the change that it's experiencing. And the impact refers to the effects of natural on natural and human systems from that event, from the climate event. So these three things must come into play. And drivers of the climate event are both, you know, natural variability in the climate as well as man-made climate change. And then if we do any adaptations, they could lead to reducing this anthropogenic change and minimize both exposure and vulnerability of our systems. So I'm going to, you know, the approach they prescribe, you know, as an example, I have here hurricanes and, you know, and so hurricanes in the USA. So if we look at exposure and vulnerability, we notice that increasing populations in coastal areas or everybody's just growing cities and everything. And if you're going to get hit by a hurricane, you know, how you're going to be exposed and how vulnerable are you? Well, the building codes may make you less vulnerable, you know. And if we look at the information that's available, you know, our projections of where the path is going to be, that's going to be important, and it's going to impact it's going to cause the impact that we're going to see. So some of the options for risk management, we want to do low regret options, like I mentioned, hardening your buildings and improved forecasting of that sort. And if we look at a few examples, you know, an impact without much adaptation or any low regret costs happened in 1938, and there was the Great New England Hurricane. There was a lack of technology for forecasting. They didn't tell the people this was coming. It was a huge hurricane that wasn't thought could make it to New England. They didn't believe some young forecaster who was using new methodologies. And indeed, people got hit by a huge hurricane. And there was many deaths, a lot of damages. And, you know, that's what happens. We don't prepare for these events. And then recently, you know, the Hurricane Patricia, there was, you know, was just as large, just as big. But there wasn't as much destruction, in part because it hit some in less inhabited areas. So there was less exposure. So there was a lot of floods, et cetera, after that, but we didn't really see much impact. Although somebody's fields got, you know, wasted, and I guess some of these buildings should have had more building codes. But so anyway, with that, I want to showcase the list of symposium speakers that we have. We're going to have Dr. Cook talking to us about the drought trends, mega droughts, and then we're going to go to Dr. Lobel to talk about the extreme heat waves and how to deal with extreme heat waves, and as well as changes in phenology, changes in physiology that may affect the crop yields, future impacts on changes in flora throughout North America, how crops and weeds are the battle between crops and weeds, how they're responding to climate change. And then finally, we're going to have a perspective from the USDA on how to do this. So with that, if you have any questions, I would like to entertain them.